Well, many of our children this week are going to go back to their routine of going to school and learning. And all of that has made me think about a saying that's popular about children, and that is that children are sponges. Have you ever heard that before? Children are sponges. Now, that may be a surprise to some of us. We think they resemble something more like a couch potato, but children are really good at just soaking up information. In fact, children's ability to soak up information is essential for living life, because children are not born knowing everything. That doesn't happen until they become teenagers. And at that point, they think they know everything. But no, children have to have this ability to soak up information so that they can understand the values that they need to live life and have the skills with which to live life. That's how God has made us, so that these little children can gain information that will help them know how to live life well. So children are sponges. And as a result of that, we parents desire to fill our little sponges with all kinds of things that are good and that will help them live godly and useful lives. And in fact, that's what Joseph and Mary did for their little child named Jesus. The very first place that they took baby Jesus was to the temple, because they wanted to fill him up right from the very beginning with things that were good. In fact, the Bible says in Luke 2 and verse 41 that the parents of Jesus went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. That means every year Joseph put a business closed sign on his carpenter shop, and they took off to Jerusalem, where they spent several weeks filling their family with the kind of values and skills that they needed to live a godly life. Jesus is a great example of somebody who grew up right. But have you ever wondered what Jesus was like as an 8-year-old? What was Jesus like as a 10-year-old or a 12-year-old? Here's one. What was Jesus like as a teenager? You ever wondered those things? Now, there's not a lot in Scripture given to us about what Jesus was like during that time in His life. But what we do have are some summary statements that show us that during that period of time, Jesus was busy soaking up the kind of things that would help Him serve the purposes of God in His life. And by the way, kids, that's our desire as parents and as your relatives and as your friends. Our desire is that you might be filled up with the things of God so that you might serve the purposes of God in your generation. That's what excites us. That's what we want for your life. It is every Christian parent's dream to see that their children grow up right, so that they can serve the purposes of God in their generation. And that's exactly what happened to Jesus. And there are some summary statements in the New Testament that show us what Jesus was doing as a young person that helped him soak up those values and those skills that would help him serve the purposes of God in his world. For example, what was Jesus doing from the time he was an infant to the time he was 12 years old? Luke 2 and verse 40 says that during that time, Jesus grew and he became strong. He was filled with wisdom and the favor of God was upon him. During that time, Jesus was growing physically and he was growing mentally. He was filling his mind with knowledge and about how to apply that knowledge to live life. So that by the time that he was 12 years old and his parents and he went to Jerusalem for the Passover, as this little boy from Nazareth goes into the big city, he goes right past the GameStop. And he goes right past the sporting goods store. And he makes a beeline to the temple because that's where they're talking about the scriptures. That's where they're talking about God. And he finds himself all the time there in the temple talking about the scriptures, listening and asking questions. And the Bible says that they were amazed at his understanding and the questions that he asked. Here was a 12-year-old boy who was filled with wisdom and knowledge. And at that age, he realized that his purpose in life was to fulfill the will of God in his world. He said to his parents, "Do you not know that I must be about my Father's business? That's what my life's about." And that leads to the next summary statement that tells us what Jesus was doing from the time he was 12 to the time that he burst on the scene at 30 years of age, publicly teaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And that statement is found in Luke 2 and verse 52. And it says that during that period of time, Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. There were four areas where Jesus was soaking up all that he could. And he didn't start pursuing these things when he was 12. These were the things that he was pursuing from the time he was an infant. And there are four things that are showed to us here. That he grew mentally. He grew physically. He grew spiritually. And he grew socially. And what a joy it would be, wouldn't it? For us to see all these little sponges we have around here. To grow in these kind of areas in their life so that they could serve the purposes of God in their generation. Jesus grew up right because he was continually increasing in these areas. And let me just quickly point out that this wasn't just true of Jesus, but many of the servants of God in Scripture grew in the same exact way. For example, God in the Old Testament used a young man by the name of Samuel to change the nation of Israel. And this is what it says about how Samuel grew up. The boy Samuel continued to grow both in stature and in favor with the Lord and also with men. And in the New Testament, God used a young boy named John, who we know as John the Baptist, who would come along, and as he was raised, it would say he grew and he became strong in spirit. And he was in the wilderness until the days of his public appearance. These were the things that were consistent, Old and New Testament, about children being raised upright so that they could serve the purposes of God in their generation. And these things are still essential to living a godly life, no matter what your age is. If you're here this morning and you say, "Well, I didn't grow up that way," it is never too late to grow in these essential areas of your life. So let's talk about it this morning. How do you grow up right? Well, the first thing that Jesus did was he grew mentally. The text tells us that Jesus increased in wisdom. And when you read the Gospels, what you discover is that Jesus' teaching reveals that he had a lot of knowledge about his world. He knew how creation works. He knew how seeds grow and how vineyards are trimmed. He knew how fish were caught and sorted. He knew how weather changes took place. How did Jesus know all those things? Because he was growing in the knowledge of his world. And as you read his teachings in the gospel, you find that Jesus knew a lot about how people work. He knew why people fight. He knew why people commit adultery and fornication. He knew why people lie and why people worry. How did Jesus know all those things? One of the reasons he knew all those things was because he had been continually growing in knowledge. Understanding how His world worked and understanding how people worked enabled Jesus to have the tools to teach people about God and help them live in God's ways. And one of the things about growing in knowledge is it helps us understand God and His creation better. Very often in school, kids will be sitting there in math class and looking at the X's and the Y's and the sines and the cosines, and they'll raise their hand and ask their teacher, "How in the world am I going to use this stuff in my life?" And at that point, the teacher tries to make some impassioned plea about how the Pythagorean theorem is going to be their constant friend every day of their life. Well, I went through a lot of math courses. And I went through a lot of upper degree math courses. And I don't use that kind of stuff every day today. But I can tell you that I wouldn't give anything for that experience. Because through that knowledge, I came to understand the complexity of God's creation and the beautiful orderliness of it. And in doing that, I became to be more in awe of the wisdom and power of God. Growing in wisdom can help you understand the Lord better. And in fact, growing in knowledge is essential to understanding the will of God. God has chosen to reveal His mind to us through the written word in our Bible. That requires that we know how to read. It requires that we know a little bit about different kinds of literature, what poetry is like and what prose are like and what stories are like. It requires that we know a little bit about grammar. Past tense and future tense, and plural and singular. All of that kind of stuff is essential to knowing the mind of God as it is revealed to us in the pages of Scripture. And having knowledge is also essential in being able to make a living so that we can provide for our physical necessities and help those who are in need. There are a lot of good reasons for growing in knowledge and wisdom. But as important as all of those things are, growing mentally can easily go wrong. And it does for a lot of people. Many, many people think that it's more important what you know than who you are. Many people believe that your GPA and your SAT and your MA and your BA and your PhD is an indication of your value and a source of arrogant pride. And as a result, unfortunately, some parents give their children the clear idea that their grade point average and their homework is more important than knowing God and serving His purposes. And at that point, this goodness of growing in knowledge has just steered off into a direction that's harmful, where God is no longer king. And so, yes, it is good to grow in knowledge. But growing in knowledge, we must ask ourselves why. Why do we want to grow in knowledge? Notice that Jesus grew in knowledge so that it would help Him be able to communicate God's will to people and help them live for the Lord. If we're growing in knowledge so that we can be of service in God's kingdom, so that we can fulfill the commands of God to provide for ourselves and help those who are in need, if we are gaining in knowledge so that we can know God better, well, then that's a good thing. But soon as we're growing in knowledge so that I can be the smartest one in school, or that I can have a great GPA, or that I can get in the best colleges, or that I can, whatever fleshly motives there might be, we have to check whether that knowledge is helping us grow closer to God or if it is simply wasting our time. Knowledge can also be corrupted, not by just making it an idol, but also by false teaching. And that happens a lot in our world today. Learning about how the world works is great, but there will be some people to tell you that there is no God and that God did not create the world and that Genesis chapter 1 is a myth and a lie. And it is wonderful to know how the body works, but people will tell you that it is perfectly natural to use your body for sexual immorality, and that's just fine. It's natural. And it is wonderful to learn how people work and to get into understanding about sociology and psychology, and all of that is a wonderful study. But people will also tell you that all beliefs and all lifestyles are equally acceptable. Growing in knowledge is a wonderful thing to do, but we have to ask ourselves why. And we always need to check that knowledge in relationship to the one who created us all in His Word. Growing in knowledge is such a wonderful thing when it helps us know God better and serve Him more effectively. But when serving the Lord is not the main purpose of our learning, then it can go wrong. But notice also that Jesus grew physically. It tells us that He grew or increased in stature. And this, of course, has to do with Jesus' physical condition. And I don't know if Jesus lifted weights or not. Did Jesus run a marathon? I really don't know. But the Holy Spirit felt like it was important enough to include for us the fact that Jesus' physical condition was increasing. And why not? Because the body is the vehicle through which we serve God and His purposes in this world. So why wouldn't we want it to be healthy and fit for that purposes? And it seems to me that Jesus was physically capable in His life. He was able to walk great distances. He was able to teach for long periods of time. He was able to go long periods of time without eating. He was able to suffer great things for long periods of time. And all of those things would be impossible if Jesus wasn't in somewhat of a good, healthy, bodily condition. And I must admit to us that I am concerned that our ability to serve the Lord in our generation is diminished because we abuse our bodies. And we say things like, well, I can't come tonight, and I can't serve that way because I'm too tired. When in actual fact, what it is, we're not eating right, and we're not exercising, and we're not sleeping as we should, and we are abusing our bodies, and therefore we miss opportunities we could have had to serve the Lord. Jesus grew in stature. And we certainly want our children to do that. We want our children to be physically healthy. And so that's why we want them to eat right. Eat your vegetables, we say. We want them to get in bed on time. Go sleep. That's one reason we want them to get in bed on time. Is so that they can have the sleep they need to be healthy. We want to get them involved in programs that will strengthen their bodies. However, like knowledge, there's a danger here as well. Because, brothers and sisters, we live in a world where health has become an obsession and where the body has become an idol. That's the reason why our sporting arenas look like temples. And that's why the health and fitness industry has become a multi-billion dollar industry. Just this last week, a sports star was given $260 million to be the spokesman for a fitness company, while all the time nurses are paid less than $40,000 a year. And our children are swept right in to this preoccupation with the looks of their bodies and the strength of their fitness. And they take our pocketbooks right along with them. And as a result, some parents give their children the clear idea that sporting events and their workout and their body conditioning is more important than knowing God and serving His purposes. And at that point, the pursuit of good health has just steered into a direction that's dangerous, where God is no longer king. You might just do a study sometime. I'll suggest it to you. Do a study of what the Bible has to say about physical fitness. And what you'll find is the Bible just doesn't say a lot about that. And what's amazing to me is that the passages that people will use from the Bible to talk about physical fitness have nothing in their context to talk about physical fitness. They're actually ripping them out of context and abusing them in doing that. Now, that I am not trying to say that physical health is not important and even essential in serving the kingdom of God on occasions. But what I am saying is that's not the goal of Scripture. The goal of Scripture is whether you're healthy or whether you're sick, is to honor and glorify God. And that's the goal of life. And we must never get that out of order. The Apostle Paul put it this way in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 7, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is for some value, godliness is of value in every way, and it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. I tell you, there are a few things that give us more joy than to see our little ones grow up and become strong. But we have to ask ourselves why. Why do we want to see that? Do we want to see them grow physically so that they can just feed their own selfish pride? Oh, look how pretty you are. Ooh, you're big, strong. Why? Is it just to feed selfish pride? Is it so that they'll just use their bodies for selfish pleasure or even sinful pleasure? Do we want them to grow up strong and healthy so that they can dominate and control others? Why do we want them to grow up strong and healthy? It's so that they can have a long service in the kingdom of God. Let that be our reason. That's why Jesus grew up mentally and physically, was to serve the purposes of God. But Jesus, it says, also grew up socially. He increased with favor in favor with man, the text tells us. When Jesus was a child, He was refreshingly different from the kind of self-centered world in which we live. Jesus actually cared about others. In fact, all kinds of other people. He cared about men and women. He cared about religious people and for prostitutes and tax collectors. He cared for the sick and He cared for the healthy. And Jesus cared for the rich, and He cared for the poor. He cared for all kinds of people because He was somebody who was continually increasing in His ability to find favor with all kinds of folks. And we live in a world today, though, that doesn't have that as much of a priority. It seems to me that we live in a youth-dominated culture, where children are the focus of everything. Children are the one who runs the house rather than mom and dad. Children are the ones on whom we lavish all kinds of gifts. In fact, the kind of works that children used to do around the house, what we do now is we get other people and we hire them to do the works that kids used to do around the house so the kids can go out and have more fun. And I am not alone in thinking that we are raising a generation of self-centered people who believe that everybody else is there for their benefit. But then Jesus comes along and he says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. I must be about my Father's business. He didn't go around and making little cliques and saying, these are the popular folks, get rid of the people who aren't popular. Jesus devoted himself to the good of everyone who was around him. Now, it is good as children go back to school and they go back to these other arrangements where they're encountering all kinds of different people to think about, what kind of friends am I going to make? Because that is incredibly significant. Because this situation or this area can also go wrong, can't it? Instead of serving others for their good and for the good of the Lord, we can end up becoming where we want to please others and do what they want us to do rather than what the Lord wants us to do. And that's why Paul warns us in 1 Corinthians 15, not just for children, but for all of us, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts the good morals that you have soaked up. We need to be careful about the kind of influence that we allow into our lives. But unfortunately, some parents give their children the clear idea that having friends and being popular and wearing the right stuff and owning the right things and running in the right circles is more important than knowing God and serving His purposes. And when that's the case, then this growing socially has just steered off in a bad direction where God is no longer king. Remember that while Jesus did for a while grow in favor with people, and he did because they knew that Jesus loved them, that Jesus cared for them, he healed the sick, he fed the needy, Jesus taught the truth that changed people's life. For a while, that gained him favor in the eyes and minds of the people. But it didn't stay that way. Those very same people would then get mad at him and throw him out and crucify him. Having good friends and loving and serving people is a great thing to do. But we must also ask, we must always ask why. Why do we want our kids to have good friends? Why do we want our kids to have influence and be popular? Why? Is it so that they may feel good about themselves? So that they will get things that they want? So that they will be seen as something that's great? Boy, we're setting our children up and ourselves up for all kinds of failure if that's our goal. But if we want our children to grow and have good relationships, and we ask why, the answer to that should be things like it'll help them grow in the Lord. It will help them serve God's purposes and share the gospel with people who may not know it. And other people may be able to be served and changed and eternally saved because of the influence that our children can have upon them. Again, we must ask the question, why? When it comes to growing mentally, it is a good thing. But we must be careful that knowledge doesn't become an idol. Growing physically is a good thing, but we need to be careful that the body and our obsession with health doesn't become an idol. And growing socially, having friends and serving and caring for people is a good thing. But we must be careful that that influence doesn't take us away from the Lord's purposes. While all of those things are good, they also have dangers to them. But this last one is something that kids and adults can soak up all they want, and it never goes wrong. And that is that Jesus grew in favor with God. What does it mean that Jesus grew in favor with God? Does that sound strange? Is it kind of like, well, Jesus, when God looked at Jesus for a while, he just kind of put up with him and said, yeah, I know him. And then he just kind of grew on God. And God decided, well, I like him more now. I guess I'll like him a little bit more now. Is that what it means? No. Let me see if I can illustrate it this way. When my children were born, I could not have loved them any more than that day when I held them in my arms and that first time called them my son and my daughter. I could not have loved them any more. My heart was filled to the brim with favor for them. But as they began to grow and they began to know what was right and what was good, and they began to make a choice to do what was good and what was right, there's this little recording that plays in my mind whenever I see that. And that is, that's my boy. That's my girl. And that favor is once again increased. God and Jesus from eternity were always one. But Jesus made the decision to leave the glories and the perfection of heaven to come to this earth to save us worthless sinners. And when he did, God sent a bunch of angels to sing at his birth. And then when they began to grow and obey the will of the Father while he was in the flesh, and he went and he was baptized by John the Baptizer, God opened up heaven to say, that is my son. I am pleased with him. And when he continued to heal and do good and to make right decisions and to live a holy life and to suffer and die for a sinful race and on the cross give his life for us and be buried and raised from the dead, the Bible says that when Jesus was raised from the dead, that God said, this is my son. Because he was pleased with him. That he was obeying the will of the Father. And Jesus, every day, gave his Father in heaven an opportunity to say, that's my child. One thing that children need to always remember is that God loves you. God has always loved you. And he will love you no matter if you do something wrong. God deeply loves you. But another thing you need to know is that the greatest goal in your life should be to make God smile and his favor increase every day. And so when you do those things that are good and you're kind to that person that's been mean to you, and you have helped the person who is in need, and you've shown your friends what it means to live for God, and you've resisted that temptation to do wrong, and you've used your mouth right instead of for cursing, you know you've made God smile once again. And when you've had the courage to speak where the Bible speaks, and to show your friends that Jesus is first in my life, and when they don't even understand that and they think that you're strange, please know that your Father in heaven is saying, that's my child. Give him a reason to smile every day. Now, growing in knowledge and strength and friendships, all of that is very good to do. But growing in your ability to give God a reason to say, that's my child, is one of the best things you can do in your life. And so let me suggest that you do this. When you grow in knowledge this year and you learn some things, ask yourself why. Why am I learning this? And let the answer be, because I want to make God smile. And so when you are growing physically this year, and your body changes, and you get better looking, and you get stronger, ask yourself why. And let the answer be, I want to make God smile. And when you are growing in your friends this year, and you make a schedule to go out with this person and that person, ask yourself why you want those friends. And let the answer be, because you want to make God smile. That's the ambition that brings all of those other goals, all of those other pursuits, be something that's meaningful. Abraham Lincoln once said, "If I had 6 hours to chop down a tree, I'd spend the first hour sharpening the axe." Preparation is so important for living a good life. And that's what going to school and learning and getting friends and growing up, that's what all that's about. It's preparing to live life. But making sure you're sharpening your life right is going to help you go where you want to go. Unfortunately, in this world, most people don't sharpen their axe right. And so they end up going places that aren't going to end up anywhere good. Oh, they may get a good job and they may have a lot of fun in their life, but their life path doesn't end anywhere eternally significant. But if we grow in knowledge, in wisdom, in stature, in favor with God and man, then you know what? We end up not just looking like Christ on this earth, but we end up going where Christ went. And where did he go? When he was raised from the dead, he ascended to the right hand of his Father to live in heaven eternally, because Jesus grew up right. He went to where we all want to go. Now, the good news is, it doesn't matter how old you are, you can start living this kind of life. You can be born again and be a child of God, where you begin to focus on these things in a way that will help you serve the purposes of God in your generation. And I pray that will be true of all of us. And if you're here this morning and you're not a child of God yet, you can come to God through Jesus Christ, through what he did on the cross. You can change the life that you're living. You can confess your faith in Jesus Christ. You can be buried with Jesus in baptism for the forgiveness of your sins. And the Bible says then you can raise to walk in newness of life. You can be a child of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And if you're here this morning and you haven't done that, we'd love to help you begin that kind of life. We ask that you come as we stand and sing together.